Good morning again. It's always a joy to pray for people, particularly people who are just going on behalf of God to minister. And so let's continue to pray for the team that's going on, because I think I was talking to Leah also. We realize whenever we step into ministry, there's always some kind of things that happens, right? And if you realize in many of our short-term missions, a lot of things, particularly we fight against the powers of this world, if I use the words of Paul, right? We always fight against the principalities and powers of this world. It's a joy to serve God in the midst of difficulties. Many times when you read God's word, you see a lot of examples when people went into sharing God's word, there was always difficulties, challenges, persecution, pain, right? Even in the midst of all this pain, there's always a joy when we see someone's life being transformed. And so we thank God for the joy of serving. The past couple of weeks, I think we have been looking at the life of Jonah. Whenever we hear the word Jonah, right, we always remember the prophet who runs away, right? He's just running away from God. And many when I was just working on this, my sermons and all that, I realized it's not Jonah is not a unique guy. I think Jonah is also in us, right? We run away from God, right? Whenever God calls us, whenever we are found disobedient to God's word, you know, we are becoming more like Jonah. But today's passage is something different. It's a passage that speaks about, you know, Jonah is running not away from God, but running for God, which is important, right? There are moments in our life we will run away from God, trying to live a life which is just contrary to God's word and leading. But I think today's passage, it's a passage that says, you know, Jonah was running for God. In other words, running with God, right? He was saying, Lord, this time around, I'm just going to live a life for you. Let's spend some time in prayer and we will look at God's word. Father, we thank you once again for this great prophet of God. We pray that we will draw lessons from him. Lessons of God that will help us to run for Jesus. We don't want to run a race of God for ourselves. As Paul reminds of God that we are running a race, looking at the author and finisher of our faith. And there are clouds of witnesses of God. And we're reminded of their journey, people who just were just clinging on to you. Help us, O God, to draw strength from you. We just love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jonah chapter 3, it's a passage that talks about, you know, the word of God coming back to Jonah again, right, for the second time. And God says, you know, go to the great city of Nineveh, right, and proclaim the message that I'll give you. And I like the word. It says, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh, the city, the great city of the Assyrian Empire, right? He is going, responding to God's word. Immediately he's responding, and he begins on a journey, right? And he's bringing God's word. You know, what a powerful passage, you know. Can you imagine this man is just running away from God, but now he's running for God, right? And he's preaching God's word, bringing God's word to them. Very simple but profound message about God, and hearts are being transformed. And so let me encourage the STM. You know, sometimes we, you know, STM team goes and we say, you know, this is another mission, you know. I do not know what's going to happen, right? We have shared with our kids. We have spent some time with the kids, you know, not only playing games with them, but also sharing and also showing God's love. But when we are sincere in our obedience to God, you know, God will always not only reward us, but we will also see the fruits to the labor that God has given to us. You know, the more I see this particular passage, it reminds me like what Jesus have said in Luke chapter 11, right? The sign of Jonah. Because the people were just asking Jesus, no, we want to have a sign. Give us a sign. And so he gives them the sign of Jonah. So the more I see these things, I realize, you know, that this is not another, no, very simple passage. It's a very simple passage. This man is obedient. He's just going for God. But the more I see, I see something different in this particular passage. What's happening, you know, when you look at the word very carefully from chapter 2 to chapter 3, you know, we might think, you know, no, Jonah was, you know, vomited by the big fish. He comes out, you know, back to life again. And so what's the big deal, Pastor? You know, he's getting a new life and he's, you know, going for God alone. When I see chapter 2 and 3, it's not just the fish vomiting him. The more I see, you know, we are also dead to our sin, right? It's only Christ who can actually give us a new life. And that's why Jesus said, you know, in Luke chapter 11 and also in Matthew, he talks about it, you know, the only sign is Jonah. Jonah was buried in the ground. He was buried in the sea for almost like 3 days in the belly of the fish, right? And Christ will be there. And because of what Jesus have done today, because of his resurrection, we can have a new life. And the more I see Christ, when I compare with you know, Christ and Jonah, you know, I see that God is actually equipping Jonah in this way, right? How does God start equipping in our life or working in our lives or even transforming in our lives or even making us ready for his work? The Lord wants to work in our lives. And I was just trying to imagine Jonah being vomited by this great fish. Can you imagine? He comes out, he takes a deep breath and he says, thank God, you know, I'm alive. Thank God for the new life that God has given me, right? Just in the fish, top belly of the fish for 3 days. I don't know, you can't run anywhere. You are stuck. You do not, probably that's the end of the life. But even then, last week we were saying that Jonah was just praying and praying. And when he comes out, I think he's sensing it's a new life altogether. And that's why Jesus is talking about Jonah. It's a new life. It's a new life that you and I receive because of what Christ have done on the cross, my friend. And that's the way that God starts working in the life of this particular man, right? It's not just sending this man on a mission, but I think the first thing that God ever does in a person's life is to bring the sense of a new life. Jonah has to die. Jonah has to be buried in the belly of the fish for 3 days. He has to realize that with him, through him, he cannot have a new life. It's only with Christ, with God, I can have a new life. Jonah has to die. He has to go through, you know, he has to deny himself. He has to die to himself. And that's why Jesus spoke about Jonah. And we look at the life of great people like, you know, like Paul. Paul was, you know, sometimes Paul was the greatest apostle, right? He was in the desert of Arabia for a few years. We don't understand why. Maybe God was wanting Paul to die to himself because Paul was a very learned man. He studied under the feet of Gamaliel the Great. And so Paul has to say no. Paul has to surrender himself totally to God. He has to die. He needs to give himself totally to the hands of God. I remember I was reading about Martin Luther. I think the last year was 500 years. The period of Reformation has happened. You know, Martin Luther was a great reformer. You know, during the high time of the Reformation period, when people were just, you know, looking into all this, sometimes you don't understand, Martin Luther was locked in a castle for almost a year. At the peak of the Reformation period, Martin Luther was in the castle. Why? Probably the Lord was saying, you know, I want you to just die. In other words, saying no to yourself, denying yourself, right? So Jonah is a great example. God was working in the lives of this person. You know, Jonah has to die to himself, right? There's no more hope. There's no more life, but it's only life when God gives us. And so that's the way I think God was working in the life of this great man. You know, and let me tell you, you know, even when you go on a mission for God, not on a short-term mission. Each and every day, we are on a mission. And we need to say no. We need to say no, Lord. I just want to say yes to you, but no to myself. I want to deny myself. I want to, you know, deny my self-ego kind of a thing. But I just want to live a life that is led by you. And then I was just trying to imagine, you know, these are the verses that also talks about the corn, right? That if it dies, it will produce many sins, right? And Paul also speaks in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, right? He talks about that we carry the death of Christ, right? And we are dying. And then we reveal the presence of Christ in our life. And then secondly, I also see, you know, when God is working in the life of Jonah, what's happening? I think a sense of dependency. Can you imagine? He comes out of the belly of the fish. It's a new life. He realizes, you know, I need God. Because I can't go back, right? I cannot go back to the city because I just need God. That's why, if you realize, Jonah immediately responded to God's call. He realized that he needed God in everything. He could have said, no, Lord, you know, I want to do things which is just pleasing to myself. Scholars say that it's, you know, Jonah responded immediately because he realized, you know, he depended on God totally. When God is working in the life of someone, right, I think the Lord not only makes the person die to himself, right, saying no, at the same time, the Lord, what's happening is making us much more dependent on him. So there is a sense of dependency that's happening in the life of Jonah. So we belong to Christ. And so I believe, you know, Jonah was saying, Lord, I belong to you. I belong to you. Thirdly, you know, I also see a sense of renewed call. You know, I like the word, it says, then, right? Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, and Jonah obeyed. Have you observed when you read the book of Jonah, one of the words that actually comes up many times is the word but, B-U-T. Jonah heard the word of God, but he ran away, right? You will see that word. It's a word that says, you know, Jonah had a different art altogether. But here it's something differently. Then the word of the Lord came, right? And so because Jonah, you know, renewed himself, you know, the word of God came to him the second time. And it's not just God speaking to Jonah. Why? I was asking myself, why did God speak to Jonah the second time? I think it tells me that Jonah is forgiven by God, right? And God has actually said, you know, Jonah, I've actually forgiven you. I've heard your prayers. When you were in the belly of the fish, you prayed, right? And from your prayers, I realized that you have given yourself totally to me. And so God is actually, is calling him again for the second time. It says, you know, that God has actually forgiven us. And that's the way I think God is actually working in the life of this great man, Jonah. And God works in our life. So many times we think, you know, yes, I'm prepared to do God's work. If I have the talents and the gifts, I'm not denying all that, my friend. But I think if you are really, if God really wants to use us, right, or use us as his instrument, one of the things is that we need to realize that I need to die to myself and say, Lord, I give myself to you. With my strength, I cannot, O God, but I just want to surrender myself to you. And that's what Paul says, death, right? I'm no more. It's no more me, but it's Christ. And that's the way, my friend, what type of ministry we involve. Each and every day, that should be our prayer. And then a sense of dependency. Lord, I just want to depend on you in everything. Not my talents, not my giftings, not the strength that I have, which might be wonderful, but I just want to depend on you. I just want to just lean on to the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, my life. And I want to have a call, Lord. And God always, you know, gives us a call. Have you realized, you know, many times God has actually called us, right? Maybe it's God of the second chance, right? But I think in our lives, many times God has actually called us. Do you realize Peter was called twice before he responded? And I think God is actually calling. You know, God gives us the call. And that's the way, you know, the Spirit of God speaks to us. He works in our lives. He's actually calling us. Right? Secondly, when I look at this particular passage, you know, it talks about, you know, that God is actually working in this life of this great man. I see the word obey. What happened? Jonah obeyed. when God said, you know, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I'll give you. Jonah obeyed the word of God. It's easy to read, right? Jonah obeyed the word of God. Why did he obey? It's all connected to the first one. He obeyed because repentance leads us to obedience. Do you know why we struggle to obey? Unless we turn away and say, Lord, you know, I'm sorry, but I just want to obey. And Jonah was able to respond to God because he felt his running away was not acceptable in the sight of God. And so repentance always leads to obedience. A person who's repentant is a person who will always obey God, right? Show me, you know, like if you are an obedient person, right? A repentant heart is always obeying God. Because repentance itself is obedience to God. Repentance itself is turning away, right, from your sin and just leaning and just listening to what God actually have to say. And so I see obedience in the life of, I see repentance in the life of Jonah. And because of repentance, I see obedience. And so this is what the second word which I look at this particular passage. And what happens, you know, obedience, the urgency of obedience I see. Immediately, right, he realizes, you know, he's not running away. He's not arguing with God. He's not telling God, Lord, you know, I have a tough time 3 days in the belly of the fish. I need a retreat. I need a break. I need to rest for a while, right? I need to energize myself. I need to go and consult my friend. I need to ask for a second opinion, oh Lord. No. When God equips the life of a person, what happens, I think, my friend, you know, immediately Jonah responded. He realized it's important for me to respond to God's call. And immediately responded to the word of God, and he left to bring God's word. There was no more discussion. He was just obedient to God's word. And someone said like this, you know, he said, the more we receive God's grace, the more, you know, he expects us to respond to the call. And so Jonah immediately responded. Why? Because he was repentant. There was true repentance. Where there is true repentance, there is always true obedience. If you want to have an obedient heart, then we need to have a repentant heart. Jonah was found obedient in the sight of God. He responded. And lastly, you know, when I look at this particular passage, some of the verses, you know, I thought it would be worth for you to look at it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And this great person said, Oswald Chambers said, beware of reasoning about God's word. Just obey it. Right? Beware of reasoning about God's word. Just obey it. Right? And then George MacDonald also said, you know, I find the doing of the will of God leaves me no time for disputing about his plans. And so, just obey. God has actually called you. Right? Not only for ministry, but, you know, in anything in our life, God calls you, just obey. Just obey. Thirdly, I think, I see the word preach here. Jonah went with God's word. If you do a comparative study of, Jonah with particularly chapter 1 and chapter 3, you realize there is a difference in word that has been used here. Here, if you realize, you know, it says, the word of God came to Jonah, right? In word, it says, you know, proclaim to the city, right? The word that I will actually give you, the message I give you. But then if you realize in word chapter 1, the Lord says differently, right? Go to the great city of Nineveh, verse 1, it says, and preach against it. There is actually a change here, right? What's happening, you know? In chapter 1, the Lord says, go and preach against this particular city. But now the Lord says, you go, right? Even though the message is not changing, but, you know, The Lord says, you go, but then I will tell you. You go with that message, but I will tell you how to bring that message across. That's how it's implied in the Hebrew text. Here it says, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. In other words, you go with the message about, I'm going to destroy the city. But you go there with that message. It's not going to change. But then the way you need to bring that message across, I will show you at that point of time. Wherever you walk, wherever you preach, Jonah, I'm going to give you, the words that needs to be said. And so what's happening, the more I see, the more Jonah is just dependent on God's word. It's not his words. I'm just going. I know I need to share the news. But what more? The Lord will give it to me. I'm not going to compromise on that message, right? I'll go, but the Lord will use me or even give me extra words to proclaim. And along with that, bring the message that actually what God wants me to do. And so he goes with that kind of message. Like he goes, sometimes if you realize, when the more I see God's word, God wants us to be obedient. When we're obedient, the Lord gives us his words, right? Today we want to know everything before we say, yes, we cannot compromise on the message, but when we go, when we want to share God's word to your friend, I think God will give us the words, the right words, words that will help the person to understand, to open the eyes of the person. And so that's the way God is actually speaking, right? So it's not your message, Jonah, but the message that I will give you. And earlier it was cry out, now it's give you, you go and I'll give you the word, I'll tell you what to say. Can you imagine? I was looking in terms of character study of Jonah. Jonah was not only he was not actually a great prophet, by the way. Not like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel. Jonah is known as a minor prophet, right? Minor not because he's small, because it's because of the writings. But he was, according to character study, he was a just soft-spoken prophet. Not really well-known kind of a guy. Very soft-spoken, right? Probably in our words we will say maybe more of a timid kind of a guy, right? Jonah was like that, a very gentle kind of a person. And then he goes. Can you imagine he's going all alone with God's word? Soft-spoken. Probably Jonah would have said, I'm a soft-spoken guy. I'm going all alone to the great city of Nineveh. Will they listen to me? Will they listen to what I say? Because I'm nobody, right? I'm not a powerful speaker. I'm not like a Billy Graham kind of a thing. I'm not really known to anyone. I'm soft-spoken. I'm not coming with an organization team which prepares everything for the rally. I'm just all alone. He could have actually thought like that. But then what happened? I think it's not the messenger, it's the message. He brought the message from the Lord, and God's word is always powerful and active, my friend. It's not who we are, it's the message that we bring to people about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens, I think, Jonah goes, he shares the message, he preaches to them, not like Amos. Amos, was a great prophet, right? Like thunderstorm kind of a sermon he preached, Amos. He was not like that. He was just a simple, soft-spoken guy, all alone, just walking down the streets, just bringing God's word, just simple message, right? It's not a long, lengthy sermon, just a simple message. But then he was doing it faithfully. What's happening, I think these are the words that I see in the scriptures. It says, when God works in our life, when we have a repentant heart leads to obedience, right? And we'll always share God's word. That's why Paul said, we cannot help speaking about what we have heard and see. Luke writes this particular Acts, and he says, you know, we cannot help speak, right? And Jeremiah says, let the one who has the word speak about it faithfully. Yet when I preach the gospel, I have no reason to boast because I'm obligated to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. It's not about you, my friend. It's about the message. Let me encourage the STM team. You know, sometimes you might say, you know, Pastor, we go every year. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. When you bring the message of God's love, right? God's compassion, God's mercy and kindness, the Lord will work in the lives of people. And so I think Jonah was sincere, lonely prophet, soft-spoken guy, gentle, not like Amos, not like Jeremiah or even Isaiah, but he just went with a message, and God's word is powerful and active. It works in the life of people. Dear friends, I think, you know, God has given us opportunities, right, to ministry. And I think we need to be using the gifts that actually God has given us. But the more you want to be useful to God, the more you have to say, Lord, it's no to me, right? And let me depend on you. No to my selfish desires, right? I just want to cling on to you. Lord, I want to have the call constantly been said to my heart. Talk to me every day, Lord. Just remind me. Second time, third time. Talk to me, Lord. Just empower me. Call me again and again, because my mind always forgets about your call. And help me, Lord, to obey immediately. Not consulting. Not asking God, no, I need some more time. No. I just want to respond, because you have done. You have given me a new life. Right, a new life, and because of you, I have a new life. And lastly, Lord, I just want to bring your word, because you will give me the words. My message is not going to change. I'm going to speak about God's love, but the way to bring, Lord, you give me the words. You give me the words. Let me finish with an illustration. When I was sitting here, I was just looking at the castle. Thank God I'm outside the castle. You know, when I was looking here, I was looking at the pictures, a story came to my mind. The story came to my mind about a person who was just walking by. He saw a group of people who were building. And he saw, he asked someone, you know, what are you guys doing? The person said, you know, we are just building a building. And this stranger was walking to another group of workers in that particular, who were building that building. And he asked, no, what are you doing? Or do we are doing a project, you know? So he didn't understand. Then lastly, he went to another person. He said, what are you doing? And the person said, we are building a temple for God. The first group was just building a building. They saw it was just a building to us. The second group of people were saying, you know, it's just a project. I just want to finish the project. But the third group of people saw it differently. I'm not building a building, but I'm building a temple for God. Today, my friends, how are we building our lives? Are we building our lives for ourselves? Are we building God is, you know, this is my life, you know, this is the way I live my life? Or are we saying, I'm building a temple where the Spirit of God dwells in my heart? I'm allowing God to work in my life, to equip me, to work in my life. I want to be obedient, and I want to bring God's word. I want to be a temple for the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you see your life today? Is it a project? Is it just a building? Or do you see, is it as a temple of God? Jonah saw it late in his life, right? He saw that God was actually working in his life. And that's why he responded. No more running away, but now running for God. Let's pray. you ever realized that when God wants to use us, He wants to work in our lives? He wants to work in our lives so that we will surrender ourselves totally. It's not a surrender that we did when we became a Christian, but each and every day, the Lord says, you need to surrender yourself and allow me to take control of your life. Each and every day, you need to be found dependent on me. How much do we surrender each day? It's painful to surrender, but I think that's the way God works in our life. Is there something that God wants you to give up in your life so that He can use you mightily? It might be your character. It might be your behavior. It might be your friendship. Or the way you define life. The Lord wants it to be given, to be surrendered. And to depend on Him. Jonah was obedient because he repented. He realized that he cannot continue with his sin of running away from God. He was obedient. He knew this generation, the Ninevites, will come against his own people. But even he went to preach God's word. If you realize, sometimes we say, you know, who am I to bring God's word? Jonah was a soft-spoken guy. He went alone. It's not who we are, but about Christ who is in us. God wants to use us. Praying for someone in your workplace makes a lot of difference. Even telling them that Jesus loves them makes a lot of difference in their life. Even asking someone, can I pray for you? Is there something that I can pray for you? That also makes a lot of difference. And that God can use all this to work in the lives of people. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that each and every day, God, that you have given us opportunities. Many times, oh God, we realize we struggle within ourselves. This is stopping me, oh God. And so help us, Lord, to surrender. Probably my pride is stopping me, or my position, oh God. Maybe what would they think about me if I share your word? That's stopping me. But let me just give myself to you and say, I belong to Christ. Help us, Lord, to build our lives where God's presence will be felt each and every day. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.